How many of you were here last Sabbath? How many of you were here last Sabbath? Those of you that were not here, don't feel bad because probably you were in a different place where the Lord chose you to be. But those of you that were here last Sabbath, do you remember what was the topic that we talked about? Last Sabbath, what was the topic? You forgot already. Saving account. How many of you here have a saving account? Yeah, don't worry about it. The IRS is not looking. And probably if you do, you know, all of us have a saving account. It was established before we were born. That's the point that we made last week. So all of us have a saving account. Not savings, saving account. All right? We are born with one. Now, if we deposit in that account, it's up to us. But the Lord, when he established the account, he made a deposit himself just to start. So there is a principle there from the beginning. But what happens to saving account? What is the main, and I'm ahead of my slides here, but what is the main purpose of a saving account?
If you need it,
if you need it, of course. We always need a saving account. That is clear. But what is the purpose? Why do we establish a saving account?
For security.
For security. Some people say so that we may deposit part of the money, so when there is an emergency in the future, we need. But here is the saving account that I'm talking about. The only purpose of this saving account is to earn interest. You may think about the interest in this. I'm going to talk about different interests. When we go and preach the gospel, we are trying to find interest. That is the purpose of a saving account, is to cause interest to come. Okay? So with that in mind, let's look at the scripture for this morning. So follow the steps of the good. Do you all by now know why we capitalize some words and why we chose a unique color for it? All right? A gold, kind of a gold color. Every time I do this, because I want you, when you look at the scriptures, see the Lord that is there. So everything that is reference to God, I put this way. Now the text, this originally, somebody may say, this is not talking about God, it's talking about any good. But I like to say to you that Jesus Christ said, there is only one who is good. God. In order for us to be good, we have to be like God. Be holy as your Father is holy. So that's why I capitalized this one, and I want you to see God in this verse. So it says here, so follow the steps of God and stay on the path that God has established, because God is the only righteous. Okay? Jesus Christ said, I am the path, I'm the way. So please have this in mind when you read this verse. So follow the steps of God. Stay on the steps of God. Got the idea? Be with God all the time. Every single place you go, may God be the one. Now we put together this picture because the Bible also says, Jesus Christ says, unless we are like the little ones, we're never going to make to heaven. And so those little ones there symbolize everyone that wants to go to heaven. We need to walk with Jesus Christ. Walk with me, Lord. It is the title for our message this morning. I don't know if you can see the footprints right there. We got all the details there. Enoch's walk. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Have you ever asked yourself what that means? What it means walking? Another thing that you need to know that when this is talking about Enoch, Enoch lived in one of the most corrupted time ever. And we're getting very close to that the same way. And I like this verse, and also in this version, Contemporary English Bible, because it says, Enoch walked with God. Other versions that you may find, it says, and Enoch got Methuselah. And then for 300 years, he walked with God. It implies that until he got his child, he was not walking with God. So I like this version better because it implies that he always walked with God. And that's the way I believe. When I read the verse, I believe that he was always a man of God. And just mention that then he got Methuselah. And you see the name Methuselah has a special meaning. So Enoch walked with God after Methuselah's birth. Enoch lived 300 years. So the total years that he lived, 365. Coincidence? I don't know. I don't think so. And it says what happened? He had other sons and daughters. So having children did not take him away from walking with God. He walked with God all his life. And this is the mess that we like to have. In order for us to keep our saving account, we need to walk with a banker. We need to talk with a banker. We need to visit the banker. We need to be familiar with the banker. And we need to earn high interest. If you have a money, you go open an account in a bank, and the bank says, oh, I'm offering, you know, the feds just lowered the right now. And they are saying, let me make a brief statement here. The feds, they said, we're going to lower the interest so that it will be stimulate the economy. Yeah, how are we going to stimulate the economy if the people need us to go to work? You know, they don't want to borrow because they say stimulate. What they mean is that more people will get themselves more in deep in debt. They're going to borrow more money because if the interest is lower, so they will borrow more money. Now, the fact is we need to save, we need to be responsible. So here is the question. Enoch walked with God after Methuselah's birth. Enoch lived 300 years. This is a different version. Enoch lived in a very sinful world, we mentioned here before. And it was as corrupt as it could be. And yet he kept his faith. Literally, his name means dedicated, consecrated. That's what the meaning of the name Enoch. Now, when the Bible mentions Enoch, the first Enoch that we find in the Bible is a Cain's son. And we know that it's not that one. This Enoch is the son of Seth. He comes from Seth, the seventh generation. Scholars define Methuselah as his death shall bring forth. Interesting the meaning of the name Methuselah, because when his son was born, Enoch said, something is going to happen the day that my son dies. And we know Methuselah died on the year of the flood. He lived more than any other human being that we have in history. 900 and how much? 69 years he lived. And then he died, and the year that he died, the flood did come. And so when he is gone, it will come. It will come what? Judgment. A judgment did come. In the bottom, I just, for the sake of those that wants to know where we got this information, there is the source where we got the information. Noah's walk. And then, few generations later, the same thing, the world became, the Bible says the world was so filled with sin, there was completely, it basically makes a reference like there was a flood of sin before the flood of water came. And you know what the flood of water was? Consequence. Because the Bible says the wage of sin is death. And so whatever there is sin, death will come. It says this are the Noah's descendants in his generation. Noah was a moral and what kind of man? A man that people could look at him and says, I want to be like him. That's what exemplary means. I want to be like him. He walked with God. Again, two individuals here that live in a very difficult time. So in other words, brothers and sisters, it's not an excuse for us to act like the world just because the world is corrupted. We have to be vigilant Because sometimes, without knowing, we ourselves call Christians, we talk like the world and we live like the world. And we cannot. And by the way, I'm not going to apologize, but in this message, we're going to say a few things that will make you a little bit uncomfortable. But that's why the Lord called me here, to make you uncomfortable. So here it comes. Abraham's walk. He answered, "The Lord before whom I have walked." Here is Abraham, sent his servant to go to look for a wife for his son Isaac. Why go to another country? Why go so far? There probably was some nice, God-fearing Canaanite. Abraham said, nope. You have to travel, you have to go far, but you have to get one that will be a wife the way God wants my son to have a wife. And here's the part that some of you may not feel comfortable. Today, we are mingling too much with the world. Our children are dating people outside of the church, and then we are shocked that once that they start dating this fellow guy for 2 weeks, it looks like the end of the world if I leave this guy. I have to marry this guy no matter what, Mom. I have to marry this guy. And what happened? They leave the church. Because the Bible says clearly, how can two walk together if they cannot get along? There is no communion between light and darkness, the Bible says as well. There is no communion between good and evil. And I'm not saying that the good is the one in the church and the evil is the one outside of the church, because sometimes it's the opposite. Remember, Judas was part of the church, and that didn't help him much. Some people may be in the church, but not with the church. Some people may be in the church and not be part of the church. It is very common, but it's possible it happens. The Lord before whom I have walked. This was Abraham said. I walk with God. I know him. I am his friend. And I know that he takes care of my needs. And he will take care of the needs of my son as well. And God will take care of not only of you if you walk with God, but also he will watch over your children as well. So if you are a parent, understand you walking with God may be the greatest investment that you make in your saving account. Because that's how you generate interest, is when you walk like him, you talk like him, then people look at you and says, he is good or she is good, just like her father, just like his father. And then he says, we'll send his angel or messenger with you. He will make your journey a success. Journey, of course, the walking success. And you will find a wife for my son from among my relatives, from my father's family. Why he emphasized this so much is was because of the faith. It was not just all about the blood. It was number one is that I want somebody for my son that worships the same God, that walks with the same God, respect the same God, and is going to be good as my father is good. Israel's walk. For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. Talk about Israel, the people. He has watched over you every step throughout the great desert wilderness. It says, during these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. And you know that literally, God was with them as a light by night, as a cloud by day. And for 40 years, they did not have to get rid of their shoes or their clothing. They had food. Oh, I want meat. I want meat, not those vegetables. I want meat. And God said, okay, I'll send you meat. I want a bread. They got bread. They got everything. Oh, I want water. No, this one. I want. Got water. They got everything except one thing. They forgot who were they walking with. And they decided to not earn interest. You see the nations around. For 40 years, God stays with them because all the nations around were supposed to be interest that Israel was supposed to invest. And of course, we see some signs. For Ahab, for example, said clearly, oh, I heard what God has done for you. We know, everybody here in the city knows. I mean, it creates interest. You know what happens to interest? Interest. Sometimes we misuse interest, and sometimes we reinvest the interest. In the case of Ahab, she was an interest that was reinvested. And she became part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So this is what happens when we generate interest. As interest, sometimes it is better than even the capital that we put it in. Now, because of those online, let me read the this is Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, New Living Translation. Now, Israel's walk just as he has commanded you. This is a commandment. So that you may live and it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land you are going to possess. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. This is a new, I forgot the name, the version. But it says clearly, walk just as I have commanded you. God commands us to keep his laws, not because he wants us just to keep a set of laws. It's because he wants us to be just like him. His law is a reflection of his character. So he says, as I walk with you, I want you to learn just the way I am. Now, I don't know how many of you here remember. Some of you maybe don't remember when you had your child. Maybe you're a little older now. We just forgot about those details. But now the Lord wants to remind you, so he gives you grandchildren so that you can go back and revisit those memories again. But it's interesting when they are very little, they have not taken the steps yet, when to hold their hand and they take the steps. God is holding our hands every day. And sometimes he's holding our hands not because he wants to control where we're going. He wants to make sure that we don't fall. And even when we fall, you know, when a child hits the arm or something, we go and give a kiss and that heals, you know, like a miracle. Just give a kiss in every. So this is what the Lord does for us every day. The Bible says that the righteous fall how many times? 7 times. How many times? 7. How many times? 7. Do you know what 7 means? It means many times. 7 is the number to say so many times. It's a symbolic name, number. But I know what is interesting about this verse is not that we fall so many times. It is the backing up some of us talk about. Oh, he falls so many times. We think about the falling. I don't think I read that verse. I don't think about the falling at all. What I'm thinking is how many times the Lord helps me to get up. And this is what is so vital for us. To walk with him. He always will lift us up. Walk just as he has commanded you, so that you may live. But this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Jeremiah 7:23, New King James. Now, please, how can we hear God if we do not walk? Many people walk away from God because they don't want to hear God. I have seen people do it like this. Please, no. They don't want to hear. I have tried to talk to people about the gospel. They don't want to hear. Oh, my family does this way. We're going to church this way. We do things this way. And they don't want to change. Sometimes we just have to move on. Now, how many of you here have access to YouTube? You have access to YouTube? Here's a link of a music. You should listen this afternoon. I'm not advertising you should go online on Sabbath because you may see things that are not Sabbath. But if you do this another time, but listen to this song. Walk with me, Lord. It's a beautiful song. The words are very, very. So I decided to just to for you to check this out. It's youtube.com/watch. And you see the, can you see well from there, from the back? Okay. So you can listen to this. It's a beautiful, very beautiful song. And I do recommend for you to listen. The righteous walk. Now we talk about you. The righteous walk. The Lord is a sun and a shield. God is favor and glory. The Lord gives, doesn't withhold, good things to those who walk with integrity. If there is one thing that our world need now, more than our country need, more than a good president, is to go back to integrity. The whole world is laughing at our country because we are going beyond ridiculous in many things. Morally, what is morality? What is happening to our way of life? People, don't get used to the world because we are here supposed to change the world, not to be changed by the world. Live your faith. Create interest. If you want to protect your saving account, you must earn high interest. If a bank is offering you 4%, another bank comes and offers you 8%, which bank do you choose? Let's suppose that both are safe, okay? Because be careful, sometimes if everybody's offering 4 and somebody's coming around and saying 8, that means that they are almost out of business, so they are so desperate for cash that that may be a sign that they are not a very safe institution for you to put your money there. So be careful. But let's pretend that both are safe, both are secure. It's obvious, right? You want to put your principal in a saving that will earn more interest. Why is important how much interest we generate? And I'm talking about people. I'm not talking about money anymore. I'm playing around with the words, okay? So how important is for us to earn high interest? Because inflation, now I'm going back to the financial part. Inflation eats up everything you earn in a saving if your saving has not much interest. Same thing with a church. Same thing with our spiritual life. If we earn very little interest, inflation will eat everything else that we produce in your Christian faith. You see, I'm playing around with the words. I hope that you follow me in what I'm trying to do here. It is a very bad investment if you put your money in a place where inflation will eat everything that you earn. There will be no interest left if inflation keeps eating everything that you have in your saving account. Some people come to church, they embrace the faith, they receive a saving account, but they don't do much about increasing the principal, create interest. A saving account that generates no interest is going to be closed. And you know what happened to your saving account when it's closed? You lose everything. And we cannot afford to lose everything. Psalm 84, verse 11, Contemporary English Bible. It says what I said before. I'm going to read it again. The Lord is the sun and shield, the light and the shadow that I need. He gives. He does not, you know, God is always giving. He gives good things to those who walk in integrity. Why God invests in those that are honest? Because he wants whatever he invests to multiply. God does not invest, neither should you, go to a bank that is losing money and you put your money there. You cannot trust in those that are losing. You cannot trust those that have no interest in paying you high interest. If you do not earn high interest, why should you put money in that bank? The righteous walk. We walk by faith. What that means? Anybody here, are you ever seen an angel before? And that doesn't include your wife or your husband, okay? Have you ever seen an angel before? I have. I'm looking at quite a few of them now. The word angel means messenger. A messenger is sent by God to earn interest so that your account will be strong. And when the Lord, the banker, comes, he has a reward with him to give to you. And that reward will guarantee that your saving account will be strong forever. He is coming. But you need to have faith, because without faith, it's impossible to have a saving account. Without faith, it's impossible to negotiate, talk, embrace, or relate to the banker. Faith is essential. Faith is the currency that will allow you to earn a lot of interest. Amen. Not by sight. It's not what we see, but what is being reserved for us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, New King James Version. My brothers and sisters, I say, be guided by the Holy Spirit. And you won't carry out your selfish desires. You will not misuse the interest that you earn. You will invest well, and your saving account will be always strong. Galatians 5, verse 16. Contemporary English Bible. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With how much?
All.
And lean not on your own understanding, or you think you are so bright, so intelligent. Be careful. A lot of people lose a lot of interest, a lot of money, all their investments, because they think they are so wise, and they do foolish things. And they not only burn what they have earned, but sometimes burn what are the funds that were supposed to be protect their own family. Lean not on your own understanding. Seek God for all wisdom. In verse 6, this was verse 5. Now verse 6 says, in all, again the all. This time I decided to call your attention to it in a different way. Capitalize. In all your ways acknowledge him. Meaning, walk with him, and everything you do, talk to him about, ask him. And he shall direct your path. Every single investment that you make will be safe. Galatians verse 5 verse 16. This is supposed to be 5 and 6. Okay, please check it out. In our walk, Romans 6 verse 4, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, we were buried together with him, Jesus Christ, through baptism in his death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in newness of life. Are you know the balance in your saving account? Are you keeping track of how much is there? Are you living every day following the steps of the banker? Are you a close friend of the banker so you may have been earning higher interest? How many people have you, don't answer please, how many people have you in your mind have brought to Christ? How many interests have you created with your life? One of the greatest joy that I have in my life is that very early when we were baptized, we were baptized and raised in a church where motivate people to go out and create interests. And so we started giving Bible studies. Every Sabbath, I was just as 16, 17 years old. Sabbath, we go to church in the morning. After the church, we would just eat our lunch. And we went out seeking some place to give Bible studies. Every Sabbath, 52 Sabbaths a year, we did that. It was a joy. I think that it was what kept me in the church. The fact that when you give, it multiplies. It multiplies. A faith that is given multiplies, becomes stronger. Amen. Investment multiplies when you invest well. Create interest, and your interest will be forever established. Don't live a life that is not meaningful. I was baptized to be part of the church. I was baptized to be part of Christ. I was baptized to create interest, and that kept me very much interested. May God bless you and create in you the desire to have a saving account that multiplies. Remember, multiplication is the key, essential key for your life in Christ. You must share your faith. That is the purpose that God created a saving account for you. Amen. Here is what we all are familiar with. Go, therefore, and make disciples. In other words, let me put my version here. Go, therefore, and make interests in all the nations, throughout the nations. Baptize them, you know, deposit them in a bank in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe how much? I feel very sad, and I will close with this. I feel very sad that our churches today that are baptizing people too quick without teaching them the foundation of their faith. And you know what happens? If you plant a plant or you try to put a post, we have here Brother Danny, you know a little bit about building, right? And if you want to build something, if you want to make a car, depending of how much weight you put in the top is how you establish the foundation, right? How much cement you're going to put in the base, how deep you have to go, depends on the weight you're going to put on top. Because if you don't calculate that well, the whole thing will collapse. We need to teach people everything. Why? Because then if they make a choice, they become responsible for what they chose. There are people that are today are coming to the church and going around saying, I am a Seventh-day Adventist. And yet they have no clue what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist. By the way, let me say this to you. Do you know why I am a Seventh-day Adventist? Because Adam was a Seventh-day Adventist. Eve was a Seventh-day Adventist. Enoch, he was a Seventh-day Adventist. Noah was a Seventh-day Adventist. Jesus was a Seventh-day Adventist. So when somebody tells you, when did your church start it? 1863, he started this in 60. Folks, don't go there. Do you know when my church was established, the Seventh-day Adventist church was established? before the foundation of the world, the same time that my saving account was established. We talked about organization is one thing. To talk about our faith is something else. Don't confuse the two. Don't get them mixed up. How many of you have said, people have asked you before, who changed the Sabbath? And we're so quickly to say, oh, Constantine, we give the guy more power than God. God changes not. Nobody changed the Sabbath. Nobody will forever. It's not possible. So if somebody asks you, who changed the Sabbath? Don't stand up and say, oh, Constantine, that Constantine. Nothing. It will never change. Adam observed the Sabbath. I am his child. I observe the Sabbath. I am redeemed by someone who observed the Sabbath and says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am a Seventh-day Adventist today, tomorrow, and always. And that is a saving investment. Amen. God bless. Amen. Would you please stand and let's sing together, He Leadeth Me.